sad story.
Yeah, it's too bad. I really, there were times he had me laughing to such an extent that I was afraid I would arc over a transformer if I transmitted, so I just sat back and just listened. Unbelievable.
Well, the story goes a lot deeper.
Well, I don't know if Dave minds, but I'd sort of be interested in hearing it, but I don't know if this is the right time or not.
Tell a story?
I would.
All right, well, Dave agrees as well. Well, when I first started talking with old Buzzard Ed, as I call him, or Uncle Ed, and I got along just fine. You know, I found him interesting, engaging, and fun to talk with. He started changing. He went through a situation where his wife died. He was living at his aunt's property in Harrisburg. And he started having a problem with me being me. So I think it all kind of happened after Gary Ionar at a ham radio party. I think it was at the Gaithersburg Amphitheater. I was not there. And they were on the air busting Ed's balls. And Ed, he liked to joke around, but he couldn't deal with a certain amount of ball breaking. They were just, you know. So when Gary Ionar got back from the party, dropped by his place because he was on the way to work, Gary says to me, "Don't be surprised if Uncle Ed is not talking to you anymore." And I'm like, "Huh?" So he told me the story, and it was hilarious. You know, it was other people operating from this one operator's point that they were fulfilling me on from their own stations rather than everybody at the at the same station. So Ed, I think, was wondering why everybody was the same strength and of the same audio quality. And there's certain types of joking that Ed had a hard time with, so I understand. So the way Ed saw it is, those are tennis friends. So I tried breaking into a QSO. You see, Ed was the kind of guy, he loved the whole group and surround himself with a cabinet of his admirers. And I was out in Sorry Excuse at the time, working, and in the evening, at the house where I was staying at, belonged to my employer, and I had a station set up in the basement, which was finished. It was a nice setup. And I'd enjoy getting on from there, so I tried breaking in. And I was ignored. Tried a couple times. I was ignored, so I just went over. Then, from time to time, I tried breaking in, and I would be summarily ignored. So finally, one evening, Tom, K1JJ, happened to be on, and he broke in, and Ed acknowledged him, and then Tom point-blankedly asked Ed, "You hear Tim in there, why aren't you acknowledging him?" And then Ed went down a whole litany of what I do and how it's bad for ham radio and on and on and on, and he essentially cut the cord. And I was, in my attitude when somebody does that is, "Yeah, well, screw you too." In the words of Cartman from South Park. So, well, I was saddened about it, but, you know, that's Uncle Ed. So, time is passing on. And I was living on the Puss Bus then before Marcy came into my life and before I got this place set up. And I'd have the receiver on all night long. I just had trouble sleeping. Had to have the radio on. So I'd be listening in, and there'd be Uncle Ed holding court, thumping and pounding on his chest about how he is going to be recreating Amos and Andy, and they're going to be broadcast on this new shortwave station, WBCQ, up in Monticello. And meanwhile, just before that, you see, Alan Weiner, the owners of the station, and me are good friends. And I basically got his MW50 working on 7.415. He had done all the legwork, you know, got the single-phase power supply together, and got everything bolted up, and some of the conversion kits supplied by Harris, but it didn't work. So I went up there and got the thing able to play. And I've had my hand in just about every other transmitter at BCQ as far as helping Alan out, or Alan and I work together and we get things done. We're fixed problems that crop up. So Ed, is going on, and I'm saying to myself,
little does he know that I am one of the people involved. He would be vilified if he knew.
I'm kind of laughing to myself. Well, in time, you know, I helped Alan get BCQ on the air. And the station's on the air for a year before I directly got involved in working for Alan and going up there after moving out of Syracuse, because the used transmitter business had come to a close and my employer decided he's going to do new equipment and I could stay on if I wanted to. Furthermore, he was getting married and I could no longer be living in his house, obviously, so I would have to find place and space elsewhere. And I didn't like the politics of New York City, the intrusionary government, and on and on and on. Besides that, my home is here. It's not there. Even though I had a really enjoyable time for the years I was there, it wasn't home. So coming home and then working up in Monticello is about a little over a 3-hour ride for me. So Alan told me after I got the transmitter going, I would have forever free airtime on his station. I wound up getting involved directly in October of 1999. Basically, Alan had some sort of weird encephalitis, wound up in the hospital. The MW50 broke down. The backup transmitter broke down. I think at that point, Uncle Ed realized I was involved with it, and he calmed it down. And he talked with me. So I figured out what parts were the problem, threw them in the car, and drove up to Monticello and was there for a while and pieced it all together. And it was a backup to the backup that was up and running. And the backup at that time was a TMC GTT10K. This is a power amplifier. Actually, the transmitter was always a GPT-30K, which could make about 50 kilowatts PEP out on sideband. But on AM as a linear, can't begin to make that kind of power, but as a backup. As it is, the tube and the PA of the main power amp was croaked, so Alan just used the GPT-10K. And for an exciter, we used my highly modified Globe Scout Deluxe with a 7.415 prop still plugged into it. So, Tom, who's involved with the station still, put the thing on the air. And, it lasted for a couple of hours, and then the transmitter croaked. So Alan has a piss-beaten VC610. So that was put online. At least it's on the air. So the problem with the MW50 is being it's a pulse-width modulated transmitter, the... floating above ground that's fed with an isolation transformer, 240 volt cap. And the transformer has to be able to withstand 40 or 50 kV peak voltage to be on the safe side. And the transformer that was in use is oil filled, and for some reason or the oil was getting hot when the transmitter was up and running with RF. And the, I think an insulator broke or something happened. But in any case, I went up there and I put everything together and got it back on the air. So at that time I was, before the station went on the air, I recorded 4 hours of the Timtrons rock and roll party. And Alan started running those tapes. He said, well, you'll have Saturday night from 5 to 6. So now the fourth reel had run the week before. So I'm sitting there. And it's a beautiful fall day, crisp blue sky. The sun's going down. I just smoked a bowl and had a beer. That's a great frame of mind. And I'm thinking to myself, what am I going to do now? So I called it Radio Timtron Worldwide and just started doing my own thing. Tunage and weirdness and all that kind of thing. Just whatever I felt necessary to do. Nobody was going to tell me what I can and can't do. Alan is not the type of person to say, no, you can't say that. You can't play that. That's not BCQ. So, and Uncle Ed was doing Amos and Andy. He was on every night at midnight. He wanted to be on at 7 o'clock at night every night, say 5 nights a week. And do a little 15-minute show. But Alan told him he can't do that because the time has been sold to other people. So Ed agreed to go on at midnight, which he did. But everything was done manually. So there were a few times like Uncle Ed had Uncle Ed's musical memories, which was old buzzard music, half-hour show. And as it was, most shows were done live. They were recorded on cassette. Some came in via CD, but a lot of stuff was done over the telephonium feeds. So we had a special phone patch system with an equalizer employing what I call vacuum extraction to pull out the missing lows and the missing highs, and if the entity at the other end was using a hi-fi amplifier to drive the phone line through a transformer and an EQ ahead of it, and you started pumping up the deep low end and pumping up the highs above 3.5 kilohertz, you kind of push the low end down to about 100 hertz before it just ultimately died, and you'd be able to get the high end to go a little bit above 3.5. And it sounded good. But Uncle Ed put everything on CDs. And they had to be played manually. Everything was manual. So I'd be working long shifts. Tom was supposed to show up and relieve me, but There were many times where he said he'd be in and he wasn't in, and I'd be so tired. I'd be sitting in the lazy bastard recliner in the other room with a fucking alarm clock to 5 minutes before the top of the hour, and I'd fall asleep. Then I'd wake up to the clock, punch up the next show, let it run, reset the clock, and I would do that. And I'd be really bleary-eyed, so when Uncle Ed came on at midnight, I thought, well, I can stay awake for this, man. And I'm listening to him and listening to him. Next thing you know, I fall asleep. And two or three more of his later installments run on the air, and the phone is ringing, and he's pissing and moaning at me, and pissing and moaning at me, and it's like, Ed, you gotta be in my shoes, you know? And then there were a few times where a programmer that was, say, before or after Uncle Ed's musical memories didn't have a show ready. So Alan's policy was, hey, if you're the board op, you can do what you want. You can pick a show that you want or do your own. So I would do a half hour of Radio Tim Tron Worldwide that would lead into Uncle Ed's show. And Uncle Ed would call up Alan and piss and moan. Oh, you gotta get rid of Tim. He's bad for the station. He's gonna get you in trouble with the FCC. So it was like, stab, stab, stab me in the back. Finally, Alan got pissed off at Ed and told him to get a life. And the other thing is that Ed would, Ed didn't pay his bill. And Alan was giving it to him very, very inexpensively for the airtime. Eventually, well, Ed had a benefactor that was paying for it. And Ed would go on and on and on about, and this station charges me $50 a week, which is nothing. But he made a big deal out of it to where he was kind of slamming BCQ, which started leading to some hard feelings on Alan's part, but Alan just sucked it up. And then years go by, and then he winds up in jail. The story goes that his live-in girlfriend, Patty, has a daughter that... probably 16, 17 years old. There are allegations that he, how do I put this? Sexual misconduct with her, or towards her. But hell, Ed was in his late 70s, early 80s. You know, the seeds dry up. You don't have the sex drive. And then I understood that, well, his girlfriend Patty was messing around on him. And her daughter did not like Ed because Ed had a bit of a puritanical streak as far as he turned into a Bible beater. From what I understand, he used to drink and party and all that kind of thing. And then he knocked it all off and found Jesus. Yes, he found the Lord and having a good time and drinking and all that kind of stuff is sinful. So that's when Ed turned against me back in the later 90s. So that was the name of that tune. So in the meantime, before all that happened, in the early part, like 2000 or so, even though I was involved with BCQ, I still was involved with Armstrong Transmitter. My friend Jeff and I were deployed to do a job in the South, and we drove right through Harrisburg, and it's like, well, let's look up Uncle Ed. So we did, and Ed invited us in, and saw his ham shack in the basement. There was just all kinds of stuff piled up here and there. And Ed was telling me that, you know, his girlfriend Patty was a hoarder, a pack rat. And the house was just totally crammed with stuff. You could barely move. So apparently, I think Ed was pushing his religious beliefs on Patty's daughter. And in this day and age where you can go to the Piglies and make a claim that you're being sexually abused, then all the warning signals go up and the red flags go up. So Ed was grabbed, arrested, and put into jail, incarcerated. And he swears he's innocent. I think even Patty said he's innocent, but, you know, the daughter claims that she was molested by Ed. Well, I don't know. So, obviously, he went into a deep depression while in jail, but then again, he started writing Alan Weiner letters, and Alan started corresponding back with him. It was as though Ed really had appreciation for BCQ, and he was talking about he's going to be out of jail real soon, I think in the month of December. And wanted to get back on the air with new installments of Anus and Andy, and Alan offered him free airtime. Yeah, come on back. So 2 weeks, or maybe a week before his date of release, they found him dead in his cell. And Alan and a number of other people think he was murdered. And that's the name of that tune. SWA1HLR.
I'm basically speechless. I honestly don't know what to say. K1ANX.
You wanted to hear the story. That's the story.
Actually, I really appreciate it. What I mean is, I'm thinking about that. I remember tuning in and hearing Amos and Andy at midnight, thinking, "What the heck is this? That's Ed's voice. What's up with this? How long was he in jail for, Tim?"
I think a couple of years or something like that.
Oh man! Hello, lovely wife. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. My lovely wife, she's so great. She brought me some warm food, so I'm going to have to split here, split ski for a short bit and grab some chow. Boy, that's... Anyway, go ahead, Dave. Get you one in.
Really? And this is before the jail thing? His KW1 went to a doctor whose call I forget, who sold it after I did it up to Jim. I think his name is Jim, W1DU in Eastern Mass. And he still puts the thing on the air. Why'd you see it after I got done with it? Well, about he had the homebrew transmitter that was built by Larry W3 Charlie, India Charlie, Riverdale in Maryland. And I'm sorry to say, or afraid to say, maybe all that stuff has been hauled off for scrap. Yeah, I, essentially an entertainer. That too, but in his later years, he'd go into old buzzard homes and perform.
Last question. Oh, you're good to go.
Yeah, very good. I won't be going too long, but I'm going to grab this warm food. I saw photographs of him and a transcribed, I guess, film onto video of him performing with a big band when he was a real young guy singing.
Oh, he was very guarded about them. Cole, I'll catch up with you a little later. I don't know how much longer I'm going to be hanging in here. I know Radio Chinka comes on in a half hour. And I did not intend to spend a lot of time playing ham radio today, but, you know, it's a combination of raining, sleeting, they claim freezing rain, which, hasn't really happened to the degree that they said it might, which makes me very happy. So the antennas are not completely iced up or in danger of coming down because of the ice. But it's supposed to go on for the whole day and into the night. It's supposed to warm up, I think. Tomorrow it's supposed to be into the 40s, so whatever ice there is will melt off. And be gone. So, yeah, that's pretty interesting. Yeah, I know about the parole thing. Because Alan and I were talking on the phone, and he told me, oh yeah, he's going to be out in a couple of weeks, and blah, 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 so on and so forth. And, you know, with the correspondents had charged him up, and he had a cause for living and going on, and Alan's opinion is because he was labeled as a sex offender that he got killed in jail. And the county coroner obviously would side on the prison. So I think we'll never know what the truth is.
Wow. Oh, let's see if I have it. Oh, very good. Wow. Yeah, I'm going to be thinking about that. That's amazing. But before I forget to ask, too, Tim, are you still involved with BCQ at all? I listened to a couple of your shows sort of like back in the day. And actually, they were really great.
Oh yeah, I'm still involved with it, not to the same degree, because got a wife and a life, and they'd love it if I'd, Alan would love it if I moved up there, but that's not going to happen, but I do want to spend more time up there.
Very interesting. I better look at the schedule and see what's happening with the station. I haven't really tuned in either. Okay. I'm going to step out of here. What's happening with you guys? Great catching up. And I'll just catch you guys later. And I think I actually will, which is nice. Actually using this thing, finally. See you all later. Tim, Dave, nice to hear you guys, and have a great day. A nice, drizzly, chilly day here, KA1ANX.
Okay. All right, Paul. The story continues, it as always does. So you're asking me something, Dave, and I don't think I answered your question. For the most part, I disagree. Because when I got into it, and I shudder to tell you, but as of February this year, I will have been licensed by the FCC for 50 years. Things buzzing away. Yeah, I'm probably going to wind up replacing the high voltage filter reactor and the power supply modulator to a sealed unit. Yeah, you're holding up quite well. I was on the shaded dipole, which for Paul works very well, you know, because shaded dipole is good as a medium to short distance antenna. And this is a medium to long haul antenna that I'm into now. This is the stacked dipole beam array, which is looking right at you. So you're doing very well for the 32V power. And I think I thought I heard Russ FAU in there. So I'll carry on with Russ for a short bit. But one of the things I've become involved with is a little low-power community FM station that I built up here, and a lot of people are programming it. And I program it as well. But I haven't done any programming in several weeks. It's programmed via what I call the program module concept, where you put together a 15-minute musical vignette, or just a musical block, where you give the station legal ID, play whatever tunes you want, be it blues, jazz, rock, certain amount of country. I played some good old Western swing stuff, stuff from the 50s, rock and roll, that is, not the wimpy shit that was around in the 50s. I don't play any of that. I play the what I call the roots artists, like Fats Domino, Little Richard, some Elvis stuff, Buddy Holly. And I am, I use a reverb and I change my voice and go into an alter ego character when I do that. So I do these little 15-minute modules. And so does everybody else do their own modules. And they're just loaded into the computer, and it's just a continuous loop, and it goes on and on and on. And probably one of the most unique stations on the air in the state of Maine. But it's very low power because that's what the license is for. So I had blocked off, I was going to block off this time to get into producing modules. So I want to spend at least 3 to 5 hours doing production before I totally wind it down and burn out and crash because I'm tired and don't do a damn thing. And as it is, the computer's been up for about 5 hours in standby mode. So I want to get to that, but I certainly enjoy getting on the radio here as well. So I'll see you later, Dave. Have a high, fine business kind of afternoon. And I'm going to pick Russ up here shortly. So for your closing comments, and we'll see you later, Dave. Now, you're probably not hearing Dave, Russ. He signed. Go ahead. He did. Go ahead. You hearing this trash?
Is back.
All right.
Thanks for more of the details, Ron. I'm glad, Tim.
You're welcome.
If he was paroled, I guess he must have been found guilty and...
is transmitted. And Paul K1ANX is back. And I think I heard Al in there as well. Is that you, Al?
Roger. W1TNA.
Boy, there's all kinds of people jumping in. My time is going to be limited here. Well, very good, Russell. Gold King is doing A-OK. Yep. Well, that whole deal with Bill was, you know, a past friend of mine, Bill K1KV, who, for my political beliefs, has referred to me as the enemy. And, has gone away from ham radio completely. I don't know what his problem is, but, you know. So, I don't know whether it was, maybe it was a trip out to Dayton. And I rode with Bill. And Bill brought along some tools and guy wire. Maybe I had some guy wire as well. And I think we changed out two sets of guys on the tower. I did the climbing. And the tower got re-guyed. Because what was there for guy wire was in sad shape. Yeah, Bill's transmitter. It was interesting. It, I thought it was going to be more power than it was. Had plug-in coils. And even though his audio was piercing, he had a fair amount of audio distortion products and was very wide for his audio bandwidth. And he was what I would call old school ham radio. But Bill's finest kind. I always had a good time when I'd go out there, and I'd been out there several times dropping by, and I believe his wife's name was Sylvia, and she was excellent as well. So that's the story. But yeah, I just remember him towards the end. He didn't get on as much, and he just started slowly fading from view. And then one day he was in the hospital, and and he was gone. Oh, man. Let me tell you. So, gotta keep it quick here. Go ahead there, Paul. KA1ANX from WA1HLR.
Hey, WHLR and Group K1ANX.
Oh, yeah. Wait, you have a memory there, right?
Yep, speaking of Bill. Man, that is very interesting. Yep. I remember VYZ. That guy was climbing some kind of tower when he was a pretty old dude. I was pretty impressed. I never met him, you know, personally, but had some great chats with him. And some of the other characters, I remember I'd hear him when I was a kid, fooling around with a shortwave receiver. Pretty amazing. And and it's funny, you know. One thing I kind of wanted to add is the it was Dave's comment about ham radio or whatever. Sort of like life in general, man. It's got to be careful of old buzzarditis, which is basically, you get so familiar with everything that everything stinks and everything is like not like it used to be, and on and on and on. And I think I told you, Tim, a bunch of years ago, I got into an accident, had amnesia. Didn't know where I was, didn't know who I was, didn't know anybody around me either. Everything was a complete, utter new experience to me. Best experience of my life. Highly recommend it. Man, I want to get rid of emotional baggage, just get some amnesia. So that's what I tell myself basically every day. Whenever I feel negative, I go, man, get your shit together. Pardon my language. You know, negativity is bad, bad, bad. Life is good, good, good. It's as simple as that. And I don't know. It's working. Now, I've had such great experiences. People want to pass me on the right and flip me off. Hey, have a nice day. So, anyway. But, anywho. I'm such a scatterbrain. I had another question for you, but it doesn't matter. But I have to admit, I've had some nice experiences listening to PCQ, you know, fading in and out. I bring my little one-gig cord, a little receiver with me. If I was going on travel, I'd listen. A lot of times I could pick it up if the local noise wasn't too bad. Heard some great, you know, great, very nice programs. And I liked yours. And I got to check them out. I think I would be into your musical choices from the 50s. And it sounds like I agree with everything. Anyway, there's a guy named Alan there. I have no idea who he is. I probably met him like an hour ago and already forgot or something. But Mr. Connecticut here, K-A-1-A-N-X. And I just want to stay in for one more round and give my 2 cents about positive attitude. Nothing stinks like people think it does. K-A-1-A-N-X.
Listen to the Johnny Mercer tune, Accentuate the Positive. Yep, well, Sid W1TNA is in there, and L is VE3AJM. Go ahead, L.
Okay, thanks, Tim. Okay, Paul, how long did the amnesia, what was the duration?
About 24 hours. It's where it really faded off to nothing.
Okay. And actually, Bill LaBelle was my first contact on AM or on ham radio in 1982. I was booting my friend's call, and he heard me on 40 meters, and I sent him a reception report, and he sent me a letter back, and said, get your license, and you could get a loose carrier in there with some audio, and he said, I knew it was a VE3, but I couldn't hear you so good, so that encouraged me. And the first contact on 75 was with Herb. W2VJZ up in New Russia in the Adirondack Mountains. So there you go. When you're talking about the berries, Tim, I was thinking about TQ Dingleberry and all that sort of stuff. Reminiscences of the past. But all positive for the most part. So I'm sorry to hear about Ed and his and what happened there ultimately. I think after his wife died, he started going downhill, but he pulled himself up and things and circumstances and so forth just seemed to conspire against him. That and what was he always complaining or TNMing about the inheritance taxes and things and all that. And back to you, Tim. I'm not hearing ruts, but I just thought I'd chime in, and I know you want to get out of there. WA1HLR from VE3AJM.
Okay, yeah, he was pissing and moaning about the inheritance tax. Well, what happened is his aunt died. And she hadn't willed the house to him. Had she done that, he probably would have kept his KW1 and I would have never gotten into... I don't like using the word restore, but revitalizing is more like it. Anyway, Sid, go ahead. We have about 3 minutes before Radio China fires up down frequency.
Okay, well, I've been reading the mail here. I'm working on a project, and I just wanted to jump in and say I've been listening and reading the mail. It's sad. You say you've been around 50. I got my ticket 66 years ago, for sure. And I was not on AM for years and years, but I just did not even know it existed. Sigh. So I wasn't part of all this interesting times. And most of the time I spent, by the way, listening to you was I had a little drawer that was full of nuts and bolts, or it was nuts. And I dumped the whole drawer on the floor and crawled all over the basement floor with a magnet while listening to the story about Ted, etc. When I was rebuilding cars, I used to refer to the work I was doing as exhuming. And I think that's probably closer to what you're doing with radios. Not just repairing, you're exhuming. I won't hold it. I know everybody's leaving, so... Just hello, everybody. I got Russ and Paul, and who else was in there? Somebody else, too, but I've lost him. So back to you, Tim. W1TNA.
Okay. Well, I'm glad to see that 40-meter short skip is starting to become coming back, which most likely it will through the spring and into the early summer, and then it'll go away again. So, enjoying afternoons here on 40. Anyway, back to you, Russ. I imagine you're hearing just about everybody there. WB3FAU from WA1H, Yellow. This is a QSO that can go on and on and on. And I'm going through all these papers that have piled up information that's been misplaced, displaced, and so on and so forth. I'd love to hang in here, but I can't. I've got to get busy with things. So, I would imagine Radio China is on there throwing crap on the frequency. Let me check. On the frequency. I was thinking moving down to 72, 75, but I got a sign. Boy, the viz wire is going up. I think we're having a freezing rain event. Oh. Boy, the plate conjurant on the Junkston 600 was up to 400 mils. So the match is changing. Not good. We'll see y'all later. This is WA1H, and y'all are listening out.
Hey, Tim, this is ANX. Can you still copy me at all?
Yeah, I do. Hang on, I'm going to switch to another amp. Yeah, I'm into the shaded dipole now, which Vizwire is not as bad on. It's quite usable, but I'm hearing you, Paul. Go ahead.
Oh, great. Very good. I could not hear Sid at all, but I was curious about how his weather situation was, because I think it was even windier out in the Cape than it was here. But I'll catch up with him some of the time. But a quick question for you. I know you have to go, in 10 words or less, I saw a Symmetrix 528. I couldn't resist picking the thing up. Is that really worth messing with? Over.
Is it a 528 or a 528E is an Echo?
Yeah, I think it's a straight 528, Tim.
It's not quite as good as the E, but they're a great unit. Well, that's what you're hearing here is a 528E and doing Optimod and a large diaphragm electric condenser microphonium.
Oh, very good. That's encouraging. Cool. We'll chat sometime about it, like whether I should sidechain the EQ before the compressor or something. We'll have a nice chat. I'm sure you could give me a nice tutorial, but I got to let you go. Nice catching up with you, and real nice catching up with you. Crazy story. Man, I'll be thinking about that. So you have a great ice-free night, my friend.
Well, I don't know about ice-free. It's, maybe in the last half hour, it's building up. So all day it's been very little, and now all of a sudden it's kicking into high gear, so I gotta stick my head out the door and examine how bad it is.
Well, I guess I should say, let's hope you have a nice free night. Yeah, I hope you're in a position where you can get whacked, at least in the short term. The weather conditions are just about perfect for icicles. So good luck with that.
Thank you. I'll catch you all later. It's been a very enjoyable day here on 40 meters.
It has indeed. And VE3AJ, I think, Al, I don't know if I got the call right, but I'm copying you fine down here. Sid, not at all. Tom, I heard you, OUA. And hopefully chat with you guys later. Carry on. KU1NX, I'll be off and clear. Have a great day, you guys.